Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's
it. How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about love that one.
Hey, this is John Gruden.
We went ahead and made a commitment to the Bears and ponied up and got the suite. It's been a big disappointment.
Well, you're a hard guy to please. Don't forget that. You're a hard guy to please.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, it.
Why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
720 WGN high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio. It's the Jim Bob Show game day edition, and Jim Bob on the line, excited to have a Maryland Terrapin, a first round NFL draft pick, multi-time Pro Bowl player, Super Bowl champion, and a Gridiron Greats Hall of Famer.
Yes, and let's please welcome Vernon Davis to the show. Vernon, we are fired up to have you, man. I mean, you had a heck of a journey from, you know, streets of D.C. to the top of the NFL, and now, you know, we're flipping the script with everything you're doing on philanthropy and acting and art. Let's just get right into it, Dane. Let's start asking him every question in the world.
First off, Vernon, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for asking. I'm doing really well.
Going to dive right into the fact that, hey, Bernard, you know, you played for such a long time, and when you got traded to Denver and you got that opportunity to go to Super Bowl, give us an idea of what that meant to you to be able to kind of cap your career off with that Super Bowl.
Yeah, that Super Bowl was everything to me. I mean, that's, if you think, thinking back to when I was a kid and my dreams, aspirations to make it that far, and then all of a sudden when you make it, it's like a, it's surreal. It's one of those moments that you'll cherish for the rest of your life. I mean, I don't feel like I've ever had a greater moment other than seeing my kids born than that day.
Yeah. I mean, you were one of the first tight ends to come out that was the what I call the freakish element. I was telling you earlier before we got on is that I am so glad in my playing career that we didn't have to go up against guys like you. You had, you know, freakish athletic ability. And what's it like to you to see the position evolve into what you helped pretty much pioneer?
Yeah, it's great because I look at the guys before me, like Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, all the guys who gave me, you know, everything I needed to be able to go into the NFL and just have some kind of foundation, you know, and I studied them. I studied them a lot. And that's where that foundation came from. So but for me to be a part of that, it means so much. Not just to me, but to my family and friends and everyone who supported me throughout my career and before I even started. So it's a wonderful thing to see how the position has progressed and that it's still respected.
Jim Bob talks about just the difference in the vibe of the draft day situation. We were up covering the draft up in Green Bay, and a lot of the players, just because of whether the media or just accessibility and just the way that they're able to get out there, they feel more comfortable and ready to go. Like they're already part of it. Maybe they don't even feel like they have a ton to prove. You know, a first round draft pick. How was it for you getting drafted, getting into the league? Do you feel like obviously this is a great opportunity, but were you nervous whether you could get in there and contribute right away?
Yeah, I had confidence in myself. I believed that I could go in and play, but I remember the first day I caught a pass and the defensive linemen were on me so fast and I just couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, this is definitely the next level. But as I got acclimated, I started to find myself and I started to become more comfortable and the game slowed down for me. And I was able to get out, you know, later on that season, my first year in 2006, and make some plays and help the team win. Unfortunately, we didn't have a winning season, but, you know, I was able to contribute.
Isn't that the truth, though? I tell everybody about people talk about the game and everything, and I said, you know, you go from high school to college, and that's one level of speed. And then you make the jump from college and you go to the pros, and it is quite extraordinary because, like you just mentioned, everybody's fast, everybody's strong, everybody's quick, and that's a little adjustment. You just didn't see that in college, and you certainly didn't see it in high school. In college, there might have been two or three guys, you know, that were fast, but in the pros, everybody, that had to take a little bit of an adjustment.
Yeah, I did. It took a little bit of an adjustment, and you have to be humble about it because just because you were able to have success in college doesn't mean you're going to have success in the pros, and we've seen that over and over with a lot of different players going from college to pro. But I'm very grateful for the experience I've had and the way my career shaped out. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I think that, you know, when I look back, I can honestly say that I put my heart and soul into it. And I can say there were so many proud moments throughout my career where I was extremely grateful for the journey.
You've always been one of those guys that has been grateful, shown gratitude, had support accolades along the way. You know, you had like the Pro Bowls, and recently we had you here in Chicago for the Gridiron Greats, and you know, the philanthropic side and just that thoughtful side of what it is that Vernon Davis brings is always right there front and center at the same time. Talk a little bit about being in Chicago, being a part of the Gridiron Greats, not only to be recognized with some pretty incredible company, but then also that bigger picture of what it is that they do and support for players overall.
Yeah, I think it's, I've always known about the Gridiron Greats and the players that have gone in into the Gridiron Greats. They do a good job. Mike Ditka, who's the pioneer behind it all, and you know, I look up to him. You know, he's my predecessor, and he's also one of the most brilliant coaches to coach the game at the NFL level. So to be a part of that space and that sector, I just think it's a wonderful thing. I'm very, very happy, extremely grateful about the opportunity to be involved with Mike Ditka's foundation and the Gridiron Greats, and I couldn't have chose a better organization to be a part of. So I'm excited about it.
You know, Vernon, you had, when you got into the league, you had Mike Nolan was your first head coach when the 49ers draft you. And then later on, Mike Singletary. And I remember, you know, I was out of the league, but I remember, you know, you and Mike, and that was a kind of a tumultuous time for you. And then you had Harbaugh and you had Gary Kubiak and so forth. But, you know, as you look at the game today and you're looking at the systems that are developed and for the tight ends, especially, who do you think you'd like to want calling plays for you with today's environment in the NFL? Who stands out for you?
I'm about to stay with my guy, Sean McVay.
Yeah.
I think Sean McVay does a great job calling these plays. I mean, I had an opportunity to play with him when I was with the Commanders, but watching him now, he's definitely went to the next level of play calling. He's a genius mastermind, but I would definitely love to continue to play with him for sure.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about when Singletary came on at coach at the 49ers and so forth, tell us a little bit about that, because, you know, it started off one way, but man, you had that monster year though in 2009 where you broke out, you know, had a great season, you know, 78 catches, 13 touchdowns. There's something in the water, but tell us about that whole experience and your feelings today, looking back on it as an adult man, thinking back about your playing career. Cause there's many times I look back and I think about some of the stuff that the coaches were doing and I go, that was just stupid. I don't know what we were thinking back then.
Yeah. I think I remember that year. I think that year is when I really went from a boy to a man, you know, with that experience that I had with Coach Singletary, where he sent me to the locker room on national television. I think that was something that I needed, because every young man coming in to the next level, they need that mentor, that figure to help them, to help it all hit home for them. And that was something that hit home for me, having him around. I'm very thankful that he was there. He was in that position because he was exactly what I needed at the time. And from there, I was able to, you know, be the leader and be the player that the organization brought me in to be. And, you know, I remember that year like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Is that, and then do you think that's what helped propel you to that great year you had in 2009?
Yeah, I would say everyone needs a coaching, a father figure, a coach, a mentor. You just have to find it. And sometimes, you know, every mentor is not going to work for a particular person. You know, it has to be the right match. And I think Coach Singletary was the right match for me. He was everything that I needed at the time. And like I said, it's an honor to be able to call him a coach and say that I worked with him, because we all know about his legendary career that he had, and to be able to feed off that and have him as my mentor. That was a wonderful thing.
you look at coaches today and just maybe how that has changed. You look at Mike Ditka, obviously, you know, sort of that fire and brimstone. Singletary certainly brought that element to it as well. Do you feel like, as a guy who's still, you know, in tune with the game, watching it and being a part of a lot of the things that are happening, is it the coaching has had to change, right? Not necessarily the plays. Obviously, those are going to evolve over time based on the personnel, but just that whole mindset and how the coaches maybe interact with the players. Maybe it's a little bit different than it may have been when you were there, or even generations past.
Yeah, the times are totally different. I can see that. There's been a drastic change in the culture and the way these kids, young men, are playing a game. I mean, just, you know, they have different personalities. They have different ways about themselves, how they go about practice, how they walk in the locker room. It's just different. It's just totally different. So the coaches have to be able to be in tune to what's going on with these players and how they interact with each other and how they operate on a daily basis. And yeah, you know, you cater to that. It's all about creating a winning atmosphere. And the way to create a winning atmosphere is to get people to rally behind you and to get people to trust you. And you have to feel the trust and connection with the coaches. And that's why I say Sean McVay does a great job with that. Jim Harbaugh does a great job with that. John does. Those guys kept up with the change. And you have to be willing to adapt and to accept the change when it comes to the players and, you know, just overall, just the game in general.
Did you think that you should have been used more in your prime? You were, like I said, you were a different nature athlete at the tight end position. I thought you had the potential to be just phenomenal, and I would have liked to have seen them use you differently and more. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times I sit there and say, you know, I'm extremely happy with the way my career went, but I do feel like I could have gotten more. The coaches could have gotten more out of me if they used me more in the passing game, of course. And, you know, everybody feels that way. But, you know, as far as my speed and my ability to be able to get downfield and, you know, and stretch the field is just, you know, that's always been there since high school. So I've been blessed to be able to keep that part of my game. And it was a big attribute to me being effective in the passing game. So I sometimes wish that they were able to use me a little bit more in the passing game.
Tell me about that year with Peyton Manning, especially it was at the end of his career. What kind of impact did he have on you as a player and a person?
I thought Peyton, you know, you play with guys, and I played with a bunch of leaders, Patrick Willis, Alex Smith, Frank Gore. But being around Peyton, he exemplified what you're supposed to be when you're a leader. That's what he exemplified. I mean, that guy was he was the best, man. Great human being, very patient with everyone. He talked to everyone. I remember he came in the locker room with a gold chain around his neck. Just a comedic moment there for him. But his personality, his character, his charisma, everything was top notch, man. I remember when I first walked into the facility, I got a call from Peyton saying, "Hey, Vern, come see me, Vern. I thought that was nice of him. Also, him leading the meetings, the offensive coordinator stepping down and letting Peyton take over I've never seen anything like that. I thought that was different. And just the way he stood out as a leader in general. I mean, like in the locker room, you didn't know Peyton was there. You know, he let the guys have the floor. You know, all the comedy and the guys who want the notoriety and things, he let them have it. But on the practice field, he stood out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
He was like a general, man. He was just a different, he had it, man. He had it. I see why he's the person he is, because of everything that he represents, man. He's just a wonderful human. You know, I still talk to him. I texted him the other day about a film project that I had and see if he wanted to be a part of it. And he responded right away. He's just a wonderful human, man.
You know, it is. This is about you. This is, you know, about everybody learning about Vernon Davis. But let's talk about who was the toughest defensive guys you went up against. You got to have some memories of some tough battles.
Oh, Camp Chancellor, going against Von Miller, going against DeMarcus Ware. Gosh, man, there's so many people. I would say the most fierce competitor I've gone against is probably Camp Chancellor, though. He was a player, man. He was a heck of a player.
Yeah, I remember somebody, I can't remember what receiver was talking about when he went to hit hit Cam Chancellor. He said it was like hitting a redwood tree.
Yeah, I know. He was. Oh, and Chris Long. Chris Long was a good one, too. Yeah. He was a very competitive guy.
You know, we talk about the adversity lessons that you had and everything, but, you know, transitioning from an NFL player to an entrepreneur, you know, what inspired you to pursue the business ventures that you got into? And tell us a little bit about your mindset and how it contributed to your success in the business world and those ventures.
Yeah, when you're able to be in a position to be able to have, and when I say have, I mean like when you've gained financial stability through your work or whatever it is, you have to. Now, then, of course, you have your craft and you know, whether you're a football player or whatever you are, you have your craft, but you still have something that you're obligated to. You become obligated to these finances that you have. You put it to work. You find creative ways to continue to win, not on the football field, but in life. And that's life. That becomes part of your life because everything that you do is not really for you. It's meant to be passed down to your offspring, to your family. Right. So we have to keep that. We have to understand that. And we have to know that every move we make is very important. And everything we learn is for our greater good. What you know will help you. What you don't know will hurt you. I've always learned that. So to me, it was very important that I learned how money worked. You know, just they're giving it to me. But now how do I put it to work? How do I become the people that's paying me right now? I need to be on that side of the table where I create employees and, you know, I'm finding ways to make this thing work. So I learned it, and that was very intriguing to me, that whole world, that whole space on how stocks and bonds and private equity and private credit and all that stuff work.
I love the whole finding creative ways to continue to win. I love that. And even in the team spirit, knowing that, you know, you don't win by yourself, you win with others. And on the philanthropic side, talk a little bit about that, helping other people to win, kind of bringing them along with and having them enjoy some of the success that you've had.
Yeah. I think it's just giving back. You give back and you give, because you have to understand, like we all find ourselves in a position where we're asking questions and we're trying to figure out how things work, and we want to gain that information. So if you take that into consideration, you understand that there people want the same thing that we once wanted, you know. And even though you can never know enough, we're always learning every single day, and for the rest of our lives, we're always going to be learning something. So if we have a particular thing, we need to give it back. My son calls me all the time. My son is up and coming. His name's Gianni Davis. He just had his official visit to University of Maryland last week, and I went with him.
Nice.
It brought back memories. Yeah, it brought back memories, you know, because he's getting recruited now. And, you know, he always called me and asked me questions about different things, negotiating, investing. You know, he wants to know, you know, what should he do with his money when he get his money, when he get in college. it's just cool. It's just very cool.
Vernon, did people say at Maryland, how many times did you get, hey, you could still play? Because for the listeners, we'll have photos at WGNradio.com. Vernon, you're still in great shape. Were they trying to recruit you to come back for maybe that extra year of eligibility or something?
No. They don't recruit me. But I do, you know, what you said is still in shape. I do feel like every day I feel like I got to stay in shape and be able to run, because my son is always testing me, man. He was around his mom the other day. And he said, "Mom, I can beat daddy in a race." I said, "Gianni, you have no idea what I can do if you line up beside me. I can still run, buddy. I can still run."
You know, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this acting career you got into. I was looking up some of the acting stuff and TV appearances that you've been in. And I was like, I didn't realize how extensive, you know, that you've been in some pretty cool movies. I mean, and some great people with Morgan Freeman. I mean, Bruce Willis and John Malkovich. I mean, that's kind of some really interesting stuff. Take us down that road.
Oh, man, I've done so much stuff, man. It's got to a point where I've met so many people, and now they're just sending me all these scripts. I have so many scripts in my inbox that I have to read, and you just reminded me. But yeah, I've done some cool projects. I got a movie coming out on Tubi that I did with Steven Spielberg's daughter, Destry Spielberg. I wrote and produced my own film called Silt. That's in post-production. I also have a film with a talented young brother named J. Alphonse Nicholson. This movie was directed by Jocelyn Rose Lyons from out of Berkeley, California, but it's called Reckoning. It's a great film, beautiful message. I play an illusionist. So I have a bunch of stuff and things in the works. I'm always creating, man, every day. I'm dreaming. I'm I'm walking around the house thinking of different concepts, constantly coming up. It's nonstop, man. And that's why I love this space, man, because you can do it. You can do it, and you can do it for a very long time. So it's fun. It keeps him busy.
For the listeners, just so you know, he was in The Ritual Killer. You know, it's an action thriller. He was in Gasoline Alley, you know, Chariot, A Day to Die, Plan B, Dear Best Friend, Red Winter, Love Never Fails, The Masquerade. I mean, I was just looking at the accolades that you've got down, and then your TV appearances as well. I mean, you know, you did the Dancing with the Stars. We saw that. That was during COVID. And then, Name That Tune and Celebrity Feud. You've just done a ton of stuff. I mean, tell us about your art side, too.
Yeah, I went to school for fine arts. I didn't know that I had art in my blood until I got to college. And then after college, I opened up an art gallery. Then I took a class at the Shelton Theater of Art. That's where I fell in love with acting. And after that, I've been plugging away, you know, finding myself in different films and you know, just continuing to keep going.
So Vernon Davis is really just an actor, an artist, a performer that just happened to be really good at football.
Yeah, well, and he's pretty good about everything he touches, you know, because there's just a load of different businesses that you got in. You did your Riff Coffee and your Jack Jocks and stuff like that. You got your real estate projects. I mean, I'm like, I don't even know how you have time to even do anything.
It's cool. I like the journey, man. The journey is the best part, right? Because we always want to obtain information right then and there. We want all information that we possibly can. If you're doing something, you want to understand that thing entirely. But it doesn't work that way. Things come over time. And I love that every single year I get better and better at everything that I got my hands in. And that's my message to younger guys or people who want to learn and figure things out. Don't rush it. Take your time. Just do it. Just go with it. And what's going to happen from the questions that you're asking, from the things that you're involved with, depending on what it is that you're doing, you're going to become sharper and sharper every single year as long as you keep doing it. Don't give up. Don't stop. And whether it's stocks and bonds, whether it's real estate, you're going to get better, and you're going to see after a while, after time, a little time goes by, you're going to be so advanced at whatever it is that you got your hands in, man. You just got to stay at it, continue to do it. And everything will take care of itself.
It is a journey of experience, of discovery, of education, of learning. And the fans, the listeners are learning more about Vernon Davis than they maybe thought that they could, right? So Vernon says, people hear about this. Of course, they were excited to see you here in Chicago for Gridiron Greats. But if they want to catch up on some of the things that you're doing, do you have a website, social media, places people can go?
Yeah, they can follow me on Instagram, at VernonDavis85. I'll put a lot of information up on there. I think that's a good start.
Vernon, with the Pro Bowls and the Super Bowls and all of that excitement that fans can be like, these are maybe the best days. This may be the best time to be Vernon Davis, right? I mean, Jim Bob's talking about it. There is just so much excitement, and I'm so glad that we could be able to share this with the listeners. We're going to have links up for every bit of it. But Vernon, thanks so much for everything you're doing. Thanks for the sport, obviously, for coming out and supporting Gridiron Greats. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
You're welcome. I appreciate you.
I appreciate it. But everything you're doing, I mean, everything you're involved in, your investments, your time, everything seems to consistently align with your values, so supporting your community, your creativity, wellness, and sustainable innovation. I'm really proud to have you on the show and visit a little bit more about Vernon Davis, get to know you a little bit more. Love to have you back, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.